Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Good evening. Good evening, and welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. On October 6, 2004, we're going to be right back after Link fires up our usual crap promo.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product. Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or, just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have. And perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Guys, night out, and you've been drinking hard. The buzz is on until Alan drops the bro bomb.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
How about another round?
Indeed, how about it? Show that douchebag just what it means to be a bro. Because when you care enough not to care, send him to the Rockies. Coors, cold brewed, straight from the goat piss streams of Colorado. The beer of dickhead bros the world over.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, way to be on the volume control there, yeah. Skippy. Swifty McFadden.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep your dog from pulling all the freaking cables out of the mixer, man.
Well, you keep him from crapping on the floor. All right. Welcome back. It's the Linux Link Tech Show for October 6, 2004. I'm in the studio here. The studio. Yeah, it sounds professional. The studio.
We're so official nowadays.
The official studio. We have a guest tonight, Patrick Davila.
What's happening?
And I'm sitting across from Link Fezzanin.
Yeah, that's me.
And Alan Metzler over there.
Trying to keep the dog from pulling all the cables out.
Who's sharing his microphone. Are you sharing his microphone jack with Patrick?
No, he's got his own.
I'm thinking,
He's sharing my computer, but that's about it.
How do we have the fourth mic plugged in?
It's going through Alan's laptop.
It's going through Alan's laptop into the input port over there.
And then you guys are both over there sharing a headphone, each one. Get your heads together.
No. We have the entire rack of headphone Y adapters this time, too, so.
Yeah, we have four adapters on there now.
It's really cool, man. It's like a Lego Erector set, dude. You start, you know, you just kind of put things together. And we're going to make a robot out of it next week.
We got a transformer. We got a jam-packed episode today.
Jam-packed and full of Dan's can I say that on here?
stuff. Some stuff. My car died today.
No way.
Dead, man. It died. On Fullerton Avenue, right past the 22 overpass, at that intersection right there. Right, I was the only person at the light, and it was on just almost at the top of a hill, little hill.
But not quite.
Yeah, it was just enough of a grade that I couldn't get out and push it for fear that, you know, it would start going backwards and then have to hop
on
in.
Top of you.
And it was the intersection was at the point where, you know, like 100 yards behind me, 22 traffic was coming in.
Oh, man.
And then Fullerton Avenue traffic was coming in. So I couldn't go backwards. I couldn't go forward. And all these people were, like, you know, moving around me. I thought someone was going to ram into the back of me. Finally, this guy came. Because I don't have AAA. We're cheap. This guy came. This nice gentleman came, pushed my car up that hill, and I cruised down, parked it in a street right across from Condoms Galore. And
left
waited
it there?
For, yeah, I left it. I did, yeah. I waited for the wife.
Left the keys in there and hope somebody else takes it.
Big sign on it.
Please, somebody take this so I can claim the insurance,
home.
Right, or something.
Free to a good home. But the good news today was that I finally got an official Linux server with a port to the outside at work.
Awesome.
I was able to sell this fairly easily. The one of the programming teachers who teaches crap programming of Microsoft and all that
right.
has finally, you know, decided he wanted to do some Java stuff and get the students over to working with Java.
See the light,
on
huh?
the Linux side, which was really
Dan,
great.
Dan, you didn't tell him that Java runs on Windows too, right?
Yeah, he knows, but he wants him to have the experience on the Linux side too. And he's going to be getting in contact with Flash. Because Flash wanted to talk with teachers who teach programming in the high schools.
Right.
So that's a good thing. But I was able to sell it on two things, that it would give that programming class the capability of accessing the server to do their stuff outside of school. And also, because our mailing lists are getting huge, they're becoming unmanageable on the system that we have.
This
and
is why you called me today.
So fine, I said, I run other mailing lists. And it's so much easier if I just do it like this. I got the go-ahead.
Right.
And the hardest part was setting up Qmail today. And I always hate setting up email servers because I don't do them enough. And they're always finicky. Always finicky. And it couldn't get the damn thing to work right. It was send mail. It would send mail locally, but you couldn't receive mail. And it wasn't a relaying issue. You could not receive email from an outside source that it would just disconnect from the SMTP. You couldn't even tell that into the port 25. And I did everything I could. I recompiled Qmail from the source. I installed the Slackware packages, configured it every single way I could, tried to run it every way I could, called up Link, and he said, you know, why don't you try this and this and this? And I was like, yeah, no, it's not working. I did that. Couldn't think. Thought it was a firewall. It wasn't a firewall. Here it all boils down to I was using a script from my server over here, which was the only thing that was working most of the way, but Idiot had it running as a different user ID. So when it tried to start it up as the user ID that I have for the script here, it wasn't the right user ID, and then that's where it all blew up right there. But afterwards, we got it working fine. I got Mailman installed on there. I got my list created. I'm going to do some testing. Next thing is to create some custom scripts that would make it easier for people to sign up. Because Mailman's easy enough, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to want a nicer interface, I think. So I'm going to play around with it. I really do enjoy it.
You've got
to
make it pretty
Mailman.
Colors for the parents, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Big icons.
Pretty colors.
So, it's going to make it a whole lot easier. Because right now, people send me they go up to the website, fill out a form, check off the list they want to be on. I got to collect all that. I got to manually put them in the email groups. It's just such a fiasco. And when you do it that way, there's such a high margin for error that, you know, you sit there, you type in 30 or 40 emails at a shot, you get errors all the time. You know, I do my best to check, but I can't even read my own handwriting. And it's not a simple thing. It's not like you could just cut and paste.
No cutting and pasting.
No. You gotta pull the emails out. You got to write them down. Then you got to go over to the email program. I got to go in through a Citrix server. And I got to fire up the address book, and then I got to edit. And it takes so long to bring up. There's like 300 email addresses in the one book, and it just takes so long to come up.
Well, Citrix is like the most ridiculously slow way to get into like shared directories at work. Like that's what we use it for at work, and it's so slow.
Our Citrix isn't that bad, and we only have like one or two people using it though. There's like me and maybe somebody else on it. So and it's like I have free reign on it most of the time. And it hasn't been that bad.
In my place, a lot of people hit it quite often.
That would be the case. It's expensive, though.
It is, yeah.
The Citrix license itself isn't that much, but when you tack on the Windows terminal license fee and the Windows... you have to have two license connections, the Windows terminal license and then the remote access or something like that, so that you get double charged by Windows. And... It used to be if you had Windows 2000 Professional, you bought a license. It kind of came with a terminal license, but they pulled that out in XP.
Not anymore.
Yep. Bastards.
Charge up.
Yeah, and then you got to pay for the office license too. It's ridiculous.
Get you coming and going, man.
And you know what? And speaking of Microsoft, a little thing that I read.
As now, we so again, often do here.
Again, I no. Well, this really isn't so much, you know, Microsoft, but it's something what they said. I read this, I think it was last week, and I didn't get a chance to comment about it. And I, due to the pressures at work and all the crap going on, I didn't have
much duty at work. What?
Yeah, have enough time to research it to some extent. But they were saying, I guess recently it came out that they were saying that the reason why they pushed so hard to not allow an a computer to be sold without an operating system is because that promotes piracy of Microsoft's operating system, because more than likely that machine will then be running
a pirated copy of Windows. The Gardner Group, wasn't it?
Was it? Was that? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah,
because they said, you know, every Linux machine is a vessel for pirating Microsoft stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I don't
I
think
really
so.
Know for sure. That's what I want to know.
Well, it's all a guess, but.
But you know, I think about this, yeah. And I think to some extent I can see that is a possibility, because you know I remember, five, 6 years ago, dealing with people who, and there's still a whole lot of people out there like this today, that don't really give a damn about the piracy issues or don't fully comprehend, that they think nothing of, oh, I bought this computer, I got a Windows CD, my next door neighbor doesn't have the newest version of Windows, here, I'll just give it to them.
Sure.
And they don't really, you know, they don't think like that. And I know a lot of people
I know
who
a lot of
that.
People do that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Most people.
You know, and it floors people a lot
of
times.
The last place I worked
time.
For, that's how all yeah. the machines got their Windows
copy. It floors people a lot of times.
We only
time
had
when
one
tell
for like
them.
40 machines.
Yeah, you tell them. Like, my dad couldn't understand why my cousin couldn't give him his Windows 2000 disk to reinstall Windows. And I told him, you can't do that because it's Windows 98. It's illegal to do. You know, you need to buy Windows 2000. You can't just install it.
Well, unless you go buy a shrink wrap copy anymore, the copies you get with computers nowadays, you can't use outside of that one computer anyway.
Sure,
that's not true, though.
They don't give you
a lot of times.
We're getting a lot of systems with just Windows XP professional CDs.
Really?
Yes, a lot of Dell systems.
Well, that it's got to be a manufacturer thing then, because I'll tell you, when you get them from HP or something like that, or Compaq. You get the Compaq or the HP Restore disk,
yep,
which has the CAB files on it, and that's the only thing you can use it for. Yeah.
You know what? Speaking of Restore disk,
the processor. Right. Use some sort of code off of that.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of Restore disks and all that crap,
my
I was thinking really about this
too.
The other day with the server setup utility I ran a few months back. That, you know, you hear the complaints about not offering Linux on the desktop because
right.
there's not a big demand or
right.
this and that. And you're thinking, you know what?
Sure.
All they need to do, all they need is just one guy. One guy to set it up, be fine, good to go. Because I thought about it. You know, it's not that hard to install Linux on a machine and then do the cloning process or create the disk and everything.
Right.
But those bastards put together a server kickoff utility, a server configuration utility, runs straight Linux.
Right.
Straight Linux. So mm-hmm. if they could do that, they could give us a damn Linux on a
desktop.
On a damn desktop.
Yeah, man.
How come I can make Linux run on their desktop without a problem?
Exactly.
Because you have a clue.
Exactly. Well, you know, speaking of the clue is the big thing here. Because you have to know, my philosophy, and you guys have all heard this before, but I'm going to say it anyway. Again, my philosophy on people who are not techies who run computers is that they are, especially management type folks, right? They're of the opinion.
Pointy-haired boss.
Yeah, right, the pointy-haired bosses. POBs. They're of the opinion that programming a computer is magic. They have no concept what goes into it, no idea that it takes time to do that kind of stuff. They think you just go and you push the report button and there's the report, you know? Or you want to program a new program, you go program the new program button and there it is, the new program. They have no concept of what goes on.
Where is it? Where is it? When you program and you push the button, where is it?
No, I said that's where they...
I thought you were going to make the sound effect.
That's what they think happens, you know. It's like, I heard... I don't even know where it was. Funny, I think it might have been a blog or something a while back where someone was calling non-computer users muggles. You know, muggles from the
Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter. And, you know, pretty much that's what it's like, because they're absolutely convinced that, you know, what we do is magic. So
it is.
It's a good analogy.
It is.
You guys might not enjoy it, but somebody out there is. It really is a good analogy. No, screw you all, okay?
I like the Harry Potter movies, but going to, like, the midnight showing dressed in full wizard regalia is a little overboard.
The thing that disturbs me, Pat, is that you actually saw that. I had no idea anybody did that, so, you know.
Where were they showing it at midnight?
They have, like, grand openings the first night.
Oh, yeah, you go to the midnight the night before. Yeah, I used
last
to do
midnight
that.
Showing I went to was, like, Rocky Horror or something.
Yeah, Rocky Horror is a different thing. Like, you know.
I saw Batman and Robin when it first came out. Now, man, that was a
loser.
Oh, that was such a horrible movie to go.
That was the one with Mr. Freeze, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was awful.
Didn't we? We had a discussion about that on one of the shows.
Yes,
we don't need to go back into that nightmare, that train wreck. You know, we want to get to the all this great stuff we have to talk about. But what do we talk about first? Do we talk about
the meat? We talk about
the podcast and stuff, or do we let Patrick go with his Myth TV? Because I know people have actually requested that we talk about Myth TV stuff.
I don't know.
And I've said you got to listen this week because Patrick's going to be on. He's going to come back. You're going to have the definitive Myth TV.
Well, then let's talk about
experience.
The podcasting stuff first, because then it would keep them in suspense and they have to listen to the whole damn show.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, some really great stuff with podcasting. I'm going to let Link kick it off because he's got the Bash Potter, and I want him to take away with that. I don't want to steal any of his thunder with that.
Thunder.
Great, great script.
Yeah. Link went all out with this.
Yeah, went all out with this. Something. Anyway, they're talking about podcasting. It'd probably be a really good idea to give you for those of you who don't know, to give you some idea what the hell it is we're talking about. Podcasting is basically a media delivery system, okay? Most of you, I'm assuming just about everybody now, has read a weblog or a blog, as they're now called. And
everybody's talking about that now.
And they, you know, these weblogs or blogs are normally syndicated using...
What's a blog?
It's a weblog. Shut up, man. They're normally syndicated using something like RSS, which stands for Really Simple Syndication. And it's just a method of embedding, like, HTML sort of like tags around blocks of text and sticking them in a file that people can download and you know, suck into things called news aggregators or aggregation programs, which displays them all together in a nice little, you know, a nice little manner for you to browse personally on your computer or through, you know, through some service like Bloglines or some such thing. Anyway, inside this new RSS specification is what's called an enclosure tag. And simply put, this is a little tag that says enclosure. And inside this, you can put a URL for a music file, a binary music file, like an MP3 file. And so you fill that up, right? And people run programs sort of like a news aggregator, only this particular kind of program that they're calling like iPodders, right?
Podcasting.
Podcast receiving. I don't even think they have a good term coined for that yet. But basically it's a news aggregator that checks through your RSS feed specifically for these enclosure tags. And all it does is, like, download these media files for you and sticks them in a directory
It puts it right on their iPods.
Puts it right on their iPod so you can get up in the morning and just, like, walk off and take it with you. You know, you run it in sort of a cron job thingy. And, you know, run it overnight or when you're not using your computer, and it's just simply sitting there waiting for you and ready when you're ready to listen to it. And the great thing about this is that you, with this sort of an idea running, you can actually pick and choose what kinds of things you want to listen to. And there are a lot of different types of things now, and there are even more every day, you know, once people catch wind of how simple it is to syndicate their feeds like that.
Break wind of.
So, you know, you can go through and say you like talk radio kind of shows or techie kind of shows like this, why don't you put a couple of them in your podcast aggregator program, and you know, suck them down overnight, and they're ready for you to listen to. You like some music? There's some sites out there that do little music and stuff that they find here and there, and you can grab those too. It's really neat, and like I said, the more people that catch wind of this, the more feeds that are available, which gives you a wider selection of things that you can listen to. And eventually, I think that this is really gonna, you know, really gonna blow up big in traditional radio's face, even, because you know there you're sort of limited to what kind of content they want to give out, and with this system, you can pick and choose what you want. Really,
it sounds really cool, Link. But
oh, it's awesome.
It's probably good until the RIAA gets involved, and then it's all downhill.
But see,
there.
That's the thing. RIAA can't do a damn thing about it.
You know what?
Because people are doing their own shows.
You know, Pat has a good point.
Well, if you're using
come over there and knock you right in the teeth.
If you're using copyrighted music, you can get it.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I have heard some examples of that lately, too, but I think that'll stop.
Actually, the big issue isn't the RIAA. It's the, the BMA? Broadcasters Media. What is it? BMA? Is that what the name is?
No, I know who you're talking about. The National Association of Broadcasting. Yeah. NAB.
The NAB? NAB.
NAB, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of the things they call. But honestly, I've listened to a lot of podcasts these past couple of days.
Right.
I really enjoy it. But a couple of things that I wanted to say to all those people out there who are podcasting, which is exactly what Alan and what Pat have brought up. If you do not have a license to broadcast commercial music,
Don't do it.
This isn't like peer to peer file sharing.
Right.
You're gonna
piss off the RIAA.
You're gonna get caught because it's you doing it,
and they can trace that shit back up.
And it's just, you know, and it's such a new technology. What, 2 years, 2 months?
Right.
That just actually is really starting to take off.
Just really the last month it's been taking off.
The only thing you do by broadcasting or putting out commercial music illegally, pirating in a sense, over a podcast is draw attention to something that doesn't need that kind of attention.
Sure.
I mean, well, don't that, give that, them something yeah. to crack down on.
And the other thing is,
the community
is
with.
There is so much independent music out there,
right?
You know, that you have to try to find and get that just deserves to be put out on the for other people to hear.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, this whole conversation that we're having here, I believe I heard
Evil Genius.
No, I don't think it was him that was doing it. I think it was Matt Bishop. Matt Bishop, Escape from the World. I'll get to him in a bit. But he was having this same conversation the other day, and I sent him some links off of our website because, you know, we've been trying to make sure that all of our music is legal to play over the air and things like that. But you are right. That's one thing I have noticed. But I do think that that's going to dwindle fast once people really realize that sort of thing can cause a problem. And I have heard...
I heard it on the Daily Source Code that somebody had said, he played a clip about somebody saying, you know, no, if don't stream commercial music.
I thought it was off the Gilmore Gang or something like that.
I didn't get a chance to listen to all the stuff yet, but I know it was pulled off of somebody else's podcast.
Like you, I've been, you know, Dan and Alan and I have just like jumped right on this thing because it seems like such a really great idea, and it's a neat thing to do, and you know, obviously we're all like techie radio kind of guys anyway, since we've been doing a show for over a year. But I have listened to so many things over the last...
That was a painful ass.
I've listened to so many things over the last couple of, you know what I mean, over the last few days or week or so that a lot of stuff runs together. But I'll tell you, I digress. Let me tell some of these people where they can get some of this stuff to find out what's going on. There's a site out. Initially, like, this whole thing was started pretty much by, I guess, Adam Curry. You know, Adam Curry of the old MTV Headbangers Ball.
Bad hair and motorcycle jacket.
That's right. Anyway, he's got a site going called iPodder.org, iPodder.org. Go there. He has listings, okay, for RSS feeds that have these enclosures in them. And he also has a download section, which has software for you to run to pick these feeds up. Software runs on OS X, runs on Linux, runs on Windows and something else he's got on there. Some other platform. I forget.
PDA.
Yeah, PDA, something like that, yeah. Anyway, he's got all the software that runs all on all that stuff, including some stuff that I wrote that I'll get to in a second. The other place that you should go check out is called, there's a website called podcaster.net. That's www.podcaster.net. Great site, which is being updated, I think, with more frequency than iPod.org. For the feeds, okay, the feeds that you want, the RSS feeds that you want to put in to your podcast aggregation program in order to, you know, in order to listen to. The only thing that I have found really sorely lacking so far that I really want, and I hope that, you know, Adam and some of these other guys listens to the show, I really want to see descriptions on the feeds. Like, you see the feeds and it gives you the website name and it gives you the link for the RSS or the XML or whatever feed for it, but doesn't tell you what the hell it is.
You know what I mean? you're talking about off of the list?
Yeah,
of
I want a description of what the actual show is, you know, because even though, like I said, I've listened to a whole lot of stuff. I just, like, subscribe to everything, right? Listened to a whole lot of stuff over the last few days. Some of it is really awesome. Some of it is really not.
What's
you know what I mean?
Some of what's awesome really and what's not?
Well, I'll tell you.
Now we're gonna get into
I'm only gonna mention a couple, okay? And if you make this list, boy, it's because you're really good. First of all, our own tech show has jumped right in line as fast as humanly possible and put up a podcast feed, and you can get
This one should be our first official.
Yeah,
one.
This should be the first official one. You can get that off.
Last week's the first official one, isn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't up like right after the show. This one will be up right after the show. You can get this one at thelinuxlink.net/TLLTS. Shut up, Dan. /TLLTS.RSS. Now, it's also a nice little link on the actual web page itself.
There's a link on the tech show.
Yeah,
page,
it's
a
links
link
all
the
over
the
place.
So we put
hit our
link on the
you'll
podcast.
Find it.
We'll put our website everywhere.
Hit our website. You're going to find it. There's a little nice little graphic, you know, a little podcast, iPod graphic thingy. Click on that. That's the RSS feed. Poke that into your aggregator, and off you go. After us, of course, you want to check out these three shows at the very, very least. Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, okay? Adam Curry that we're that's right. The same one that we're all thinking about. We're like all Generation Xers in here, so...
Did you hear episode when he was mentioning that somebody brought up his name and linked him with VH1 instead of MTV?
Oh, yeah. He was all pissed off. That was funny. That was really funny.
That was funny.
But anyway, you want to check out his Daily Source Code, and he does another one with I can't think of the other guy's name now.
Oh, I just downloaded it.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Dave.
He doesn't Dave, but it's not Dave Slusher. It's Dave.
The other Dave.
Something.
It's Trade Secrets Radio.
Yeah, that's it. Trade Secrets.
Dave
Weiner.
Yes.
That's who it is. Dave Weiner. He does another one with Dave Weiner called Trade Secrets. Anyway, you can find all these links, right? Go to either www.podcaster.net or www.ipod.org. iPodder.org. That's where you can find these links. I'm not going to bother read them off to you now. But check out his Daily Source Code. That's the one that I really like. And he does this, dude, he does like an hour show every day.
Yeah.
You know, hour, 7 minutes, something like that. And it's really a good show. You know, this is like a professional radio show kind of. And I was really impressed with it. He plays some music and, you know, says his opinions about things. Talking about the podcasting movement, which is a big thing right now.
Wait, is this the Trade Secrets?
No. This is Daily Source Code.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you moved to Trade Secrets.
No, not yet.
Okay. I'm going to say, yeah, okay.
Trade Secrets is another one that he does, but I really check out the Daily Source Code if you want to get your daily dose of Adam Curry, because, you know, he's the dude. Anyway. The next one, and this one is absolutely my favorite so far, is Dave Slusher's Evil Genius Chronicles. If you're gonna do this kind of thing and listen to podcasts, After our own, the number one that you have to get is Dave Schlesser's Evil Genius Chronicles.
Did his aunt just die?
Yes, his aunt did just die.
That was a really good.
It was a good,
really,
yeah.
really good.
He does a really,
was,
he does a really,
touching.
Really good show. I really enjoy his show. Like I said, he's the best of all outside of our own, of course. I listen to it. I wait on bated breath to like listen to his show because he does go over some interesting material, and I just like the way he conducts himself on the virtual radio and things like that. It's really pretty good. And I did send him. I have some audio clips of his show because I sent him a promo from us. You know, we all enjoy his show and we listen to his show, so I sent him a little promo. He was asking the other day for, you know, little audio promos from people saying that, you know, they listen to the show or whatever. Kind of like we did. You know, we get our little promos where someone like, I don't know, where someone like Pat, you know, who's sitting behind me sends in some dumb thing that goes like this.
Hi, this is Pat, and I like to listen to the Linux Link Tech Show every week because I want to find out if Dan is going to guess that Alan and Link. Especially after drinking a six-pack of Guinness, eating a jar of pickled eggs. Dan, I don't know if you actually eat pickled eggs.
No, I
thought it was funny.
Don't really eat pickled eggs, but it was good.
It was funny. But no, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like, we have our little people send us stuff in. So I sent one in to him. And
does it have fart noises in it?
No, it didn't. But the next one can. We'll do the next one from you. Just your kind of thing. anyway, here's what he said. Before he even played our clip, this is him talking about us.
Hello, friends and neighbors. This is Dave Schlesser for Evil Genius Chronicles, evilgeniuschronicles.org for Tuesday, October 5th, 2004. And before I get off the feedback, I got this great thing from Link Fessenden, and I will use this here and there. Usually I'll just like drop it in the middle as if I actually had a sponsor and give you the impression that there's a sponsor. But here we go. Link. Take it away.
See, what's cool about that is, like, number one, he actually pronounced my last name right, or closer than most people have gotten in a very long time, right? So I was totally impressed with that.
Fessenden.
It's Fessenden, damn it. But no, he got Fessenden, which is, that's pretty good. I was really impressed. And second of all, he sounded excited that, you know, we actually sent him a thing and it sounded like a sponsor. So you guys want to hear what I actually sent him?
Yeah, you built it up enough.
All right, I built it up here. Well, you should actually hear it in context on his feed, but here it is.
I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet.
Okay, well, here it is.
Bash potted it down for sure.
Hi, Dave. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. And we never miss an episode of the Evil Genius Chronicles. Catch our show as well. Find out how at TLLTS.
Of course, I had to plug
info.
Our show. You know.
Oh, wait a minute. How could you guarantee we never miss an episode? You come and download it on my computer? Because I know Alan didn't listen to
it. I have
it.
I'll play it for you.
No, I'm a day behind on everything.
See? He'll get it done. Just shut up. You're running my script. It'll pick it up. Pud. Anyway. And then, of course, we get his response after it's done playing, which sounds a lot like this.
Link. And these guys, I really like the fact that they just took to podcasting immediately. Awesome. So, like, Link didn't have to be sold on this. It more or less sold himself once he first heard it.
Right, and he's talking about, you know, us jumping right on doing this podcasting feed, and he's absolutely correct. Like, once I finally... You know, Alan was, like, beating it into us for a couple of weeks. Oh, you should check this out. Once I finally checked it out, I was like, you know, holy crap. Like, that's the deal right there.
It's so neat.
This is
once again, Alan to the rescue.
That's right. It's Alan to the rescue again. I was like, this is
Alan's
like...
so quiet normally.
Yeah, this is silly easy.
My God.
This is silly easy. And, you know, we're retarded if we don't do this. And I'm assuming that a lot of these guys... And I've heard tell that... people saying that they're getting a lot more listenership off of doing this, you know, a lot more downloads of their show and stuff like that, because it's very easy to grab now, right? And it's all automatic. And I'm hoping that, you know, does the same with us, and we get our show out a little bit more and a little more exposure and have a little more fun with it. It's really cool stuff. And I was so excited about doing this podcasting feed that I went out and tried to... I'm like burping up beer. here.
What's the third show?
Shut up. I went out. Oh, yeah, third show. I got to get there. All right.
Yeah.
Let me. I digress. The third show is Matt Bischoff's Escape from the World. Okay. That's the third one. He's a really good show. I sent him some emails and stuff like that. Haven't heard back from him yet. But it's a great show. Check it out. Maybe a notch under Dave Slusher's. Really good stuff. You got to
you know
listen
what?
To these things.
I listen to all of Matt's feeds. I like them a lot.
He's got,
very
he's
much.
Got a good show
They were
going
great.
On.
They were, you
and
know,
he, you
a
know he's
great
pretty,
length.
He's almost local to us, too, right?
What?
South Carolina?
No. Matt Bischoff.
Oh, Matt Bischoff. That's Dave.
He's in, and Matt Bischoff is like in central New Jersey or southern New
oh,
Jersey
is he?
Or somewhere around. Yeah, he's only an hour away from someplace. What?
New York?
No, he's,
no
he's
from the from Busch Gardens or something. I don't know.
Busch Gardens? That's in
Virginia. No. he's like
Great Adventure.
He's like Great Adventure. That's what it is.
Jackson.
Jackson's
somewhere around there, but so
he's only like an hour and a half away.
Yeah, to us that's fairly local. So I'm thinking we all ought to like pile in a car one day and just show up at his doorstep with some microphones.
Right? How old is he?
I don't know.
He sounds like he's like a young kind of guy.
I don't know.
But you know what? You know
road
what?
Trip.
You know
trip.
What?
Road
There's
trip.
Only one thing I got to say about Matthew.
Pat's
Bischoff.
Bringing the beer. Let's go.
One thing I got to say about Matthew. Bischoff. Somebody needs to mail him a Slackware disc.
Yes, right.
What are you, a Red Hat man?
No, he's a Windows man. He's on Windows.
When we go down and show up on his doorstep, we'll come down bearing gifts of Linux, right?
He needs.
He's a man, you know?
Yeah, he needs.
Start him off for like man.
So there you go, Matt. You are close enough, and you can just expect it. Dave, if you ever get
Linux
up this way or we get out that way, we're coming after you.
UBUN2.
Gen 2.
Gen 2.
3-day compile.
Gen 2 PPC.
That's just something to scare the hell out of a new Linux person, right? Whip out Gen 2 at him.
Awful.
Oh, come on.
Awful, man.
But anyway, let me get the rest of this. The next thing I was going to say is I got so excited, you know, after I started really, you know, letting this iPod or stuff sink in, that I went out and grabbed the two available Linux clients, which at the time were...
Git Enclosures and
PY.
Yeah, Git Enclosures and
iSpider.
No, there are only two for Linux.
No, iSpider.
There's Git Enclosures and there was
iSpider.
Some Python one.
And iSpider.
No, there were only two at the time, I'm telling you.
iSpider is not listed on the site, but it is available.
That's there were two on the site when I went. Anyway, I went and
tried
both of those, and neither one of them would work on my box, like right out of the box. Wouldn't work on my Linux box. That's the thing. You know, people build these applications in Perl, like, and you got to go out to CPAN and download all the modules and crafting. You know, at midnight, I'm not looking to do that, okay? Just for everybody's reference. At midnight, I was so pissed off that I had to download modules to get these things to work that I said piss on it, and I wrote my own damn client. The cool thing about this is that this whole enclosure business on the RSS feed is so damn simple that I just wrote up a quick bash script to do it. I call it Bash Potter. You can get it on my webpage, which is link.homeunix.org/8080. There's a link to it off the tech show page. You can find it. Anyway, it's in the description section called Bash Potter. Not only have I been using it, but I think Alan's using it. Have you used it?
Yeah, I'm using it now.
Alan's using it. Dan, I had him try it on OS X. Did you try it under Linux?
No, I don't have a reason to use any of that stuff.
But you
under
tried
Linux.
It under you tried it under OS X, right?
Right. It
and
works,
it does work.
Works great.
Okay, so it works under Linux and OS X. Any Unix that has, you know, Bash and potentially even just like Bourne Shell should work without a problem.
It would work on Windows with Bash.
It might if you had Lynx and
wget.
Lynx and wget installed too
what?
Or something like that.
Good luck.
Yeah, Sigmund.
But you know your best alternative
virtual
if you
PC
actually have
Windows
and you want to do
Linux.
Something is just install Linux first. Anyway, I've also
aren't you releasing a version of Bash Potter with a full install of Slackware?
Sure.
Might as well.
You know, and the cool thing about this is if I have been doing the, you know, I wrote up this little script and I let it sit around a couple of days and I keep making incremental fixes to it and things like that. I've been contacted by a couple people who are actually using the script. And, you know, to me, that's like a fantastic thing.
It's a great script.
And,
it works great.
The best one started happening after Adam Curry posted it on the iPodder.org site. I got contacted by Will Simpson of the infamous WillSimpson.org. Now, have you guys seen this website yet?
No.
WillSimpson.org. It's WillSimpson.org. This guy is probably one of the best photo bloggers I have ever seen. He takes these awesome pictures, you know, of just like the countryside and barns and whatever, and he puts them up on it. They're really, really good pictures. But the best part is that he's just started doing an audio blog to go along with this and sticks them in enclosures so you can get them you can get them through my Bash Potter script or whatever podcasting mechanism you use. And this guy sounds, he reminds me of the painting guy. What was that guy's
name?
Bob
Ross.
Yes.
Yes.
The painting guy.
That guy,
you know,
that guy was
he used to, very laid back and like, there's a little mellow music going in the background, kind of like he's podcasting from some kind of yoga thing or something. And he's really mellow, man. And he's like, you know, and I went by this barn and the light was surreal. And I took this, and it's just I love it, man. It's hysterical.
The thing about Bob Ross, Link, is that Bob Ross was a drill sergeant in the Marine Corps.
Was he really? That's even better. But no, he really reminds me of the painter guy, you know? And it's just so mellow and serene to listen to him, like, describe these pictures and, you know, what happened with the picture and how he took it and stuff like that. It's really great. I mean, it's a total, like, relaxing moment for me in the morning. Because, of course, you know, I go to work and I whip out the Bash Potter script. I'm not allowed to download all this crap, and I run into this particular one, which, you know, from Will Simpson, that happens to be one of the ones that really, like, leans you back and relaxes you so that you can, you know, relax with your cup of coffee and get things going and focus your mind through today. And, you know, not to mention, like I said, he really has incredible pictures on there. You really should check it out.
Is his RSS feed an iPodder feed, or is it just...
Yes.
It is.
Yes, so it does have enclosures, yep. Uh-huh.
So it is both... Can you put it in a regular aggregator, or is it strictly in...
No, you can put it... Any RSS feed that has enclosures in it, you can put in a regular aggregator, too.
Okay.
Usually, you'll just see, like, a little link at the bottom of the article.
Right.
It says enclosure. And, you know, if you clicked on that, you could, of course, just, you know, regularly download the MP3 file, which brings up another point. Currently, the big thing, probably because it started out, you know, working on actual iPods, really has less and less to do with it now. iPods have less and less to do with podcasting now than it did probably initially. But the current technology is such, and the current way things are running is such that most of these things are actual MP3 files, and my point was, like, MP3 is a registered, protected file type, and I think that we should probably, you know, collectively work at it to start using OGG.
Yeah, but the problem is the iPod.
But the iPod doesn't play OGG files.
Most players
so tell
don't
Apple
support
to fix the damn
OGG.
iPod so that
not
it
just
plays
Apple, though.
OGG files.
Right, it's not, and most players don't support
the
OGG.
Stupid
yeah,
Sony
but,
player.
But huh? here's
the Sony player. The stupid Sony player just started using MP3 format.
But here's in that defense, let me say this.
Before?
In defense of this idea, let me say this. I do not believe.
What?
I think it was AAC or something
was
like
it?
That.
But that's,
no,
MP,
it
that's MP4.
Yeah. It was using
audio
some,
of MP4.
Some proprietary format specific to Sony.
But AAC is not proprietary. If you listen to, was it the Daily Source Code?
I think so, yeah.
That you brought it up. AAC, but Apple's AAC with the DRM.
With the DRM, it is, yeah.
It is.
Talk about, like, FLAC and stuff. Let me say this in defense of OGG, okay?
I like OGG.
OGG instead of MP3. OGG is, number one, OGG is better quality. Number two, OGG is open source. And number three, I do not believe, I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I do not believe that most people that are doing this podcasting thing are actually using iPods. I think the vast majority of people who are doing this are like me and are sucking the stuff down and sticking it on their computer. And if you're doing that, it really doesn't make a damn bit of difference whether it's MP3 or OGG. In fact, it probably would be better if it was an OGG. So, that, you know, that was standing. And we all have to collectively jump on Apple's hind end and tell them that they need to
add
OGG support for
is
their...
You build into the... Your aggregator, your pod,
and I, you know, I probably wouldn't be so vehemently
against it.
To convert
it to an MP3 if it's an OGG.
There you go. We could do that too.
From one lossless format to another.
I could do that. That's right.
Kiss your quality goodbye.
You know, I probably wouldn't be so vehemently against the old MP3 only platform, except for I don't have an iPod. So Apple, if you're listening. And you really want
me? We need two of them here on the show.
We need two more on the show there.
He gets an iPod, and the tune's going to be screw OGG files. Who needs an OGG? I can't play.
Hey, man, everybody else just jumps on the bandwagon whenever something good comes along. Look at the debates and stuff. I'm not going to get into that, though. The last thing I wanted to mention, because it definitely is time. We're going to run on. Are we going to have time to play our... play our intermission song?
We got to get Patrick in.
Like 9:50. I think we're going to have to skip that this time. We'll let Patrick talk because we got 13 minutes, Patrick. Can you fit it in?
I'll try.
I was going to play John O'Bate. Let me make a mention of it, and you guys can all go out and get it yourself. Or perhaps we can stick it in the... we don't want to do that because then it will suck up all John's bandwidth. Anyway, I was going to play from John O'Bacon. One of the guys that does the, we play his music all the time. He was on the Lug Radio at www.johnobacon.org. He has a new song out that he released called Phone Junkie. It's pretty good. Y'all should go to his website and download it and check it out. And hopefully, just as an aside note, hopefully
this
month...
his CD is available for download?
From his new band?
Yeah. The whole CD?
I think so, yeah. I think so. But hopefully there's going to be an... Hopefully there's going to be an episode of Lug Radio going on pretty soon, too. Last time I talked to Matt, he said middle of October. So stay tuned for that. And on that note, Pat, take it away, bud.
All righty. Well, I'm going to talk about Myth TV. Basically, Myth TV is a PVR-type application, similar to what TiVo does, but it's absolutely open source, and it runs on Linux. The great thing about Myth TV is that you can do everything that your TiVo does, and then some. You can also, it has a built-in weather function. It also has an XMAME section where you can go in and pull games down from XMAME and play games. It really is like a multimedia home system. And that's really what it's designed for.
So those are the games you already own, right?
Exactly. It also has an RSS news aggregator, but I haven't gotten into that part yet. Basically, the main thing that I was concerned with was just getting the main features running, being able to record video, pulling down the schedules, being able to set my schedule and record the videos. And that's what I really tried. Now, you know, I'm a Slack man for the most part. I tried, the card that I'm using is a Hophog WinTV 350. The good thing about the WinTV 350 is that it does MPEG encoding on the fly. So what that does is it doesn't put a strain on your system.
That's the
CPU.
250 does that too, though, right?
Yeah, it does everything that the 250 does, but it has a built-in remote, it has a TV out, and it also has an FM tuner built into it. So I paid about $120 for the 350 on a website. Anyway, the driver for the Hophog card is IVTV, and I tried my best to get it working under Slackware. For kernel 2.6, which I run like 2.6.7, I think I have in my Slack box, you need to patch the IVTV driver. I tried that. The website that the IVTV driver website, it's a little lacking documentation-wise.
Oh, go figure.
So, there's like 10 different patches to apply to the baseline, version of the driver. So I couldn't get it working. So I saw a cheap hard drive at Best Buy, believe it or not. I picked up 120 gig Western Digital for $40, which is a great deal. So I figured, let me try doing a dedicated hard drive install. I was looking around on the web. I tried NotMyth. NotMyth is... It's not like Nopix where it's bootable and you have all the applications and you run off the CD. You actually have to install it onto a hard drive. So I tried that, and it's basically Debian. I have an NVIDIA card, and it has a section where you can boot up the NVIDIA, but for some reason I couldn't get it to work. I tried my best to get it working, and it wasn't working. So I said, screw this. So I looked around a little bit more. I looked at possibly just installing in a vanilla Debian. And one of the other sites I saw was somebody suggested using...
It's Debian, man. If you don't call it Debian, I get hate mail from them people.
Screw them. Fuck them.
Tell them to run Slackware.
No, not the F.
They dropped the F-bomb. We're
software Nazis.
We're back up there.
Those Debian people.
They are. They're software. I get hate mail from them people. Oh, you it's spelled Debian.
Don't get me wrong. Debian's a great distro. Okay, it's solid.
It is, as long as you don't want to run X on anything. You're running
behind
on a platform other than x86.
It's behind. Anyway, I found Jared Wilson's website. Jared Wilson is from the Seattle Lug, and he has a very good website with a very detailed how-to using Fedora 2. Now, the last time I used anything for Red Hat was Red Hat 6.1. So it's been a while since I looked at Red Hat. And I know lots of people like to, you know, put shots against Fedora, Red Hat, whatever. So I said, screw it. This is going to be a dedicated myth box. So I installed Fedora 2. Very easy, you know, of course. Easier than Slack, believe it or not. I followed Jared's how-to. He has a bunch of repositories all set up with the IVTV, you know, drivers all set up. He has all the Myth TV packages that you need with all the dependencies all set up, ready to go. So I used his repository that they had listed on the website. I used apt-get on Fedora, which is pretty good. I can't complain about that. Doing the Myth TV drive, you know, the Myth TV application, just installing that, there were 69 dependencies that were filled, which was, you know, so it would have taken a year and a day to get it up and running. I also installed the LIRC driver, which is for the remote. Now, the hot pod card comes with the gray remote. I installed it. I used the driver that was listed on his website, you know, using his repositories. I also used it, the LIRC driver and config file. Fired up MythTV, and lo and behold, it worked. I was shocked. Okay, it was too easy. Okay, you know, I've been hearing about MythTV for years now, and many people have talked about it, and it's always supposedly a pain to get set up and running. Well, I followed the Fedora install, Jared's how-to, and it was very easy. You know, the main function that I'm primarily interested in is using it for TV recording of shows that are on. Basically, what it uses for the programming is Zap2It. Okay, Zap2It is a service that's free. Okay, it basically provides all the programming for all the different cable systems and satellite systems. In the United States, actually, around the world, in Europe and South America and other places, too. You know, you go to the website, you register, and you do, you know, MythFill database, and it'll pull down based upon where you are. It'll fill your MSQL database, you know, and you'll have a month's worth of programming automatically set up. Using my HotPod card, the files are pretty small, like I said, because it's doing the encoding in real time. Now, if you use, you know...
What kind of encoding is it?
MP2?
MP2?
Okay. If you use a cheaper card, you know, I believe it'll do it to an AVI format. So they're monster files. With the MPEG-2 files,
right,
it's pretty small. You know, I did like an hour or two of programming, and it was less than a gig. It was very nice.
Huh.
Less than a gig. And the most awesome thing is the remote works. You fire it up. You can change the channels. You can scroll through the menus.
And you said this got the TV out on it?
Yes, it has a TV out.
Have you tried that?
I haven't
tried it
yet.
Watch an actual, you know, the program on an actual TV to see how, you know.
Not yet.
What the quality was like?
Not yet. That's the next thing I'm going
to do. What the hell, man? You come here to talk about this. No, go ahead.
Anyway, the basic functionality works well. Okay, I pull down the programs. I'm able to go into the schedule. Schedule, you know, broadcast that I want to record to, and it records fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's watchable.
Yeah.
Now, the quality is only as good as your input. If you're using, you know, analog cable, which I use on this connection, it's not going to be as good as, you know, my digital satellite system.
Yeah, I run into that, too. I have a cheap-ass card, a WinTV Go card, which I guess does no
No encoding.
No encoding. Nothing. Whatsoever. So what I did was, you know, I use bits and pieces of different scripts, in particular Russ Pavlicek's PVR script, and I encode everything in DivX as it's going. Yeah, MPEG-4 DivX I encode. And the file sizes are good, and the picture's really, really good if you start out with a really good picture.
Yes.
Like, for some reason, the History Channel at my house off my TV card sucks.
That's a shame.
So you see, like, all the artifacting and crap.
Yeah,
but
I get
on
that a lot of times.
Yeah, on a clear, on a nice clear channel.
What's Oxygen or the
really
Lifetime channel?
I don't even know what
Lifetime
channel they are, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm a closet
listener. You liar. Your wife's watching them all the time. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that, you know, I watch it. I pay attention.
Link's a closet Oprah fan.
Yeah.
Jenny Jones.
Me, Oprah, Jenny Jones, and Dr. Phil. That's what it is.
So I think the next step is to try it with the satellite system. Okay. And to also, like just said, try the TV out tuner, you know, the TV outline. See what it actually looks like on the TV. And using it as
yeah, that's
a,
what
a,
I would
a VCR
be replacement. Interested to know what it actually looks like on a TV, on a television. You know, if it's a, you know, if that just makes it look horrible. I would assume it would make anything look better, though, because TVs
well,
have
resolution.
Such low
yeah.
resolution. As compared to a you know a monitor or something like that. So.
Now I also tried some applications just to watch it off the encoding card, and I got mPlay to work pretty easy. Supposedly Zine works as well, but I wasn't able to get that working. There are other applications as well.
Do you have your DVD, a recordable drive on this?
Yes.
MythBox.
I haven't tried burning.
You haven't tried burning.
Not
like
yet. I haven't gotten to that yet. So basically, at the point
that
I'm at,
he's coming really
I
unprepared.
Hear too many,
you know,
I
that?
Hear
on
too many. I haven't gotten
yet.
To that yet. What are you waiting for?
I'll tell you what, man.
You know what? You need to take a week off from work.
Week off from work and come back here with the answers that we want. Damn it!
So some of the other applications for like watching
you're
TV.
You're off tomorrow, aren't you? You said you were off tomorrow, so
yeah.
You got.
You're off tomorrow.
I am. Yes.
Are you off Friday too?
No.
Oh, it's just like what Alan does. Why not just take the whole rest of the week for a long
because
weekend?
I have projects that need to be worked on.
Oh, right.
Anyway, you got Zaw TV. There's a couple other applications, too, that you can use, but it seems like those applications are limited to cards that run off the BT878 driver. So,
well, what do you have?
I'm using the IVTV driver.
I had the WinTV Go. I think it's BT, I think it's 848.
Are you 48? Sure? Because it should be 878. Because the one I have
is
878.
It might be 878.
And I bought mine like 2 years ago.
It's one of
3 years ago. I don't know when I bought mine.
But you know, the worst part about my card was like trying to find the right tuner.
You got to play with it.
Yeah.
You got to
play with it. Play with it, my ass, man. There's like 49 tuner settings. Mine was like 37 or something like that.
Of course.
You got to go through and
it's
try every
the next
damn
to last
one of them.
One.
You know.
Anyway,
play with. I wasn't playing, man. I was cussing.
Let the man speak.
There's also Freevo. I haven't looked at that, but Freevo, it's not as active in development as MythTV is, and MythTV has a lot of extension applications. You know, like I was saying, the XMAME application.
Right.
It also has a built-in MP3 player. It has a built-in DVD player. The DVD player works quite well. The MP3 player works nice. So, like I said, the whole object of it is to have a home entertainment media system running off your computer. I'm running with an 800 megahertz system, and I'm getting by. You know, ideally they say at least a gigahertz processor.
Everything's a gigahertz processor.
At least
better these days.
You know, I'm doing the recording stuff. I don't have anywhere near an advanced system as that. Like I'm really okay with just like being able to set a cron job to record the channel I want for as long as I want. You know what I mean? I don't have to have all the fancy overlay crap with the television information and the thing and. You know, VCR plus codes and all that.
I mean, you could set this thing up so that it starts up automatically. But you don't see any terminal sessions.
Right.
What they're really shooting for is for someone to do a dedicated install on, say, a small mini form factor motherboard, okay, and having a dedicated box running this thing.
And then just, like, stick it on your
TV. And it's
your
home media
something.
System. And plug it into your TV, replacing your VCR, replacing your TiVo.
It has a media player on it, too, right? So you should be able to pump. You know, your stereo
MP3s,
files,
yeah.
MP3s and stuff
run
like
it through your, you know, your amplifier, and it's awesome.
Well, there's that guy in Canada that's doing that for his whole neighborhood. Did you read that?
No.
Yeah, that was an interesting article. Yeah, he fires everything up off the...
Dan's on the crack again. There we go.
No. Wait,
little PDA. That little PDA that he...
Yeah, he runs it off the... Was that Fedora that... Well, no, yeah, Fedora. Was that Faber that posted that?
Faber posted it, yeah.
About the guy runs it all off his he subscribes to his satellite dish. But he gets the same kind of feed that the networks get?
Yeah, he gets the same feed.
Like
it's like a quarter of customer.
Pirating.
No, he's not pirating because he's allowed to legally broadcast
legal.
Those channels in.
Really?
And then he's not got his Linux boxes set up that with each person in his neighborhood that wants a connection has like a TV tuner card in that box or something.
Yeah.
And it records all the shows to the hard disk, and then they can watch it whenever they want.
One of the cool things about Myth TV is...
To make sure you put that link up on there so everybody can read
it. It's split into two sides. It has a back-end processor that runs.
Yeah.
And it has
you know what it is.
I don't know where it is.
And it has
a
front end.
Alan's going to put the link up.
The front end, you can have multiple systems running, feeding off the back-end server. So you can have, say, a laptop running, you know, say a machine in your daughter's room, you know, a machine in your son's room.
Just running what the front end, like the scheduling stuff, right?
Well, the back end is where all the scheduling has. You have that MySQL database running in the back end.
So it's just a web.
It's a front end. It's a front end app. Okay, you basically go. You can go in. You can pull down the shows that are recorded and play them.
Cool.
You can pull down, you know, MP3 files, whatever. It's really sweet. They've done a very professional job, you know, developing the application.
Now you can play like you'd be in one computer playing one show and another computer playing the other.
Yes.
Yeah, how's the bandwidth on that then? No, you don't know. You haven't tried it.
I haven't tried it yet. People have done it.
Well, I don't know. This guy that is doing it up in Canada is all running it wirelessly. So I mean,
now that's cool. He's got to have
the thing about wireless. It's throughput. How much
throughput
can you push?
He's got to have some fat bandwidth going on up there. I'll tell you.
I don't know. Now, what machine are you doing all your stuff on?
Me?
Is that your Slackware box?
Yeah, my Slack 10 Duron 950 megahertz with 512 megs of RAM.
Can you watch live TV and record on that?
No, but that's a limitation of my TV tuner card.
You mean watch live and
I mean,
record
I
a different
can watch,
channel? Or
I can
watch
live.
Watch the same channel and record
no,
it. So.
No. I can do that, but like I have to turn around and look at the TV across the room. But no, I cannot. When my script is run into like record the stuff,
yeah,
it,
too many
it shuts beers. It shuts the stuff off.
Three.
And a long day.
But it works well. I mean, it's very promising compared to say like Microsoft Media version, you know, the Windows XP Media Center.
That's the cool thing about Linux is that Linux gets development so much faster than even though Microsoft might have. You know, they have a little bit of inside track because they can actually get, like, the actual code for the drivers and shit like that from the manufacturers. But, you know, once the Linux guys grab a hold of that crap, they just run fast and hard with it.
And it supports many, 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 many more formats than anything that Windows has.
Sure, yeah. All right, guys.
You know what we ought to do?
What?
Another,
what ought we do?
Another,
what do we
I was thinking
do?
About this for Bash. Damn it. Enclosures. We ought to have an enclosure for all the bits we do. Separate.
We could do that.
I think that'd be cool.
We could do that. We've got to get them all in a place first, though.
Yeah, that's why we have the archive server.
But no, we should do that anyway because, like I said, some of the guys like Matt Bischoff and Dave Slusher are looking for bits of other shows and things like that to play. And
they need the
Firefox
porno ad.
That's right. They need the Firefox porno ad. And it be, you know, that's just a cool thing for us to share.
Porno ad.
Yeah, it's a cool thing for us to share. And we're going to have to do that. We should, in fact, well, I don't know if we should put it on our main one or not. But we definitely should put up
I don't think it should be on the main one. I think it should be a separate feed.
We should put up a feed with that kind of stuff on it. Because that stuff's entertaining, you know. And it's stuff that other podcasters could use, you know, here and there stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to get some
deal.
From other people, too. I've seen some bits that some other shows have done. They're really good. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we're out of time, people. Hey, I'm always like the bearer of bad news. I'm always the guy watching the clock over here going,
yeah, we could just
Dan, shut up,
on
until
midnight or something. And then
Dan,
I don't have a problem with that.
At the Grandpa Fezzenden over here.
No,
like, we got to turn it off.
You know, Alan's getting ready.
Get
Alan, as soon as we shut the stuff off, Alan is like packing.
I'm like that too, usually.
But the problem is, like, if I don't remind Dan that it's time to go, he'll get on a subject like old video games or some kind of crap. And that's it. He could sit there for 4 days, you know.
Another Conan.
He's good until he has to get up and crap in the morning or something. He can just go for it.
Can I just jump in with one thing?
Okay.
I'm going back to the old shows, and I'm doing a detailed listing of what the show's contents are. Nothing too spectacular, just listening to the show. Every couple of minutes, you know, listening what the topic is that we're talking about, and just listening in on the forum. So far, I've done 15 episodes. If anybody wants to volunteer, we could probably get through them much, much quicker than if I do it myself. So.
That's right.
Well, you know what? That brings up a good point. I really want to thank Pat for doing that.
That's what I was going to say, because you're doing a fantastic job. You look at the stuff that he posts on there,
right,
and it looks like we actually had important shit to say during that time, you know?
And, you know, there's other there's
the
other listeners,
really good, you know?
Like Judlin and stuff like that, who's passed on our information to
That's
other
right.
people.
That's right. And I think he's helping put some... He sending us a Linux to review, right?
Hey, Alt Linux, isn't it?
Alt Linux?
Is it Alt Linux?
I think
Linux?
So, yeah. That's going to be coming soon, too. Just like the promo says in the beginning, man, if you want us to review something, you just let us know. We're cool with that kind of stuff. But that's coming up, too. And I just lost my train of thought.
Crash and burn.
Something.
Rest in peace, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, that's
right. That's right.
Rodney Dangerfield, of course, passed away last night. At the age of 80, or yesterday, 82? At some point in time, 82 years old. Rest in peace, Rodney. We all miss you. You're a great comedian, and hopefully now you get some respect.
Yeah. You know, another piece of information.
What's that?
Big announcement today. Howard Stern is moving to Sirius Radio.
He hasn't retired already?
Nope, not yet.
No,
he's
2006.
Moving.
Howard Stern is still doing radio?
Yeah, in 15 months. Yeah, 15 months, he'll be moving
so
to Sirius.
I got over that after I was done with puberty, you know?
Howard Stern was cool, like, when he was on NBC, and then when he was first on K-Rock. But after, like, 10 years, he gets a little tired. That's my opinion.
Well, that's your opinion, Link and Pat. I just thought I'd bring it up, because apparently that's supposed to be a big move for... Sirius.
I don't see Howard Stern.
Yeah, that's
going to
help Sirius. That's going to help their user base really good.
Probably. Open Anthony on what, XM?
Yeah, they're on XM, but they charge you an extra $1 or $2 a month for those.
Wow, really? They're really on XM? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They got booted like
2 years
ago.
I know they got. I remember when they got booted. That was like. That
Sex
was,
for Sam?
Yeah, that was it, man. They had the sex in the Catholic Church or something like
that.
Pretty bad. The next thing you know, they were off the air. That was pretty fast. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then they had who those other two yahoos that they put on after Opie and Anthony got booted off. They were from Washington.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Don and Mike.
Oh, those guys suck.
I was never
terrible. Awful.
Don and Mike. I was pissed because. You know, they got rid of Opie and Anthony, yeah. But then, you know, it used to have, like, the Aussie Lunch on WISP. And then they put Don and Mike on. And you didn't hear your daily dose of Aussie.
If they would just podcast their shows, everything would be better.
I agree, man.
Well, you know, I
wonder, more freedom.
What is the commercial future of podcasting? I mean, it has some really great capabilities. How could you actually commercialize it?
Well, why couldn't you? Why couldn't you put commercial... You know, put regular audio commercial on, just like radios do.
No, but I mean, like, it was brought up that if you had a conference, like, do you go to the Linux World Expo?
Right.
And you'd be able to make all the audio feeds or the stuff that they usually slap on a CD available for download through, like, an iPod, an enclosures.
Right.
Now, do you make that available to everybody or do you charge for that?
I suppose you could do either one.
But if you charge for it, how would you secure it that only the people who pay for it could get it? That'd be kind of impossible.
Well, yeah, because it's a podcast, so you would have to, I don't know, yeah, password protect the... You can't really
do
that because then it's not automatic, right?
Yeah, it's not automatic at that point.
I guess there really wouldn't... I don't know if there really would be any really commercialized way to do that, but I think they could make their money... you know, on the other side of that, like, you know, if you have you put a an really
advertisement in there and you say I've got, you know,
that's right,
10,000 people downloading
if you
the
have,
show.
That's right. If you have a really popular show that everybody is downloading, there's no reason why you could not interject some get some product sponsors
it's
or something
more, I
like
think
that.
It's more accurate
but then
than
if
saying
you,
like it's
if
an
you
Arbitron
make over $100,000, I think, of what they were saying in this MP3 format, you have to start paying licensing fees.
Right. Well, that's when we start pushing ARG files. Actually, yes, we should start pushing ARG files now. But
sure.
I don't
suck
see
up
myself
all that server space.
I don't see myself or any of us sitting in this room making $100,000 off of our.
I don't see myself ever making $100,000.
Yeah, right.
Dream the impossible dream.
Yeah.
When you stand out on that corner on Tillman Street and 6 long enough, you'll make $100,000.
He's got those high heels on.
High heels and those,
and
high heels
purdy
and those
little
transparent, those transparent, those transparent legs.
You're a pretty.
All right, guys. That's
roll
it.
Right up there and say, hey, sweet thing.
You guys
Alan comes up to the car.
Hanging up by the Javits Center.
You looking for a date, big boy?
You guys are sick.
What a date.
And I was like, daylight coming, I want to go home.
That's why he gets
hey,
he
Mr. Driver Man, give me your banana.
Now.
He always says he has to get out of here so fast, maybe it's cutting into his pay time. All right, everybody.
Nice. Poor Alan.
Listen, everybody, this is Link.
Wait, shut that off. One more thing. The archive site.
This is one more thing.
The archive site. If you're not doing the,
yeah, that's right.
The blogger feed, or you should be. You should be doing that. The
well, that comes
out
of our archive.
But the archive site now is
super.
We're Pat said
yeah,
it was Malkin. Incredible. I think 30
second downloads per episode.
We're paying for that. We're paying for a colo site now to hold our archives, and the bandwidth there just smokes, man. So
the best
bandwidth of any show on the internet.
Hit that, and that, of course, is where our
won't
show's coming from
right
now.
Right now.
Yeah, right. Now everybody's going to hit. But, yeah, that's
there for.
Really cool. And still want to thank the other two guys who are, you know, hosting our archives for us over in the
definitely.
UK. So,
that's always important. And then maybe the Lug Radio will come back sometime or Slug
I
Radio.
Hope so. You know, I talked to Matt, and he said middle of October. He said actually end of September, middle of October. So the middle of October is fast approaching. And I'd be really disappointed if they don't put something together soon.
Hopefully.
Same with Slug Radio, even though, you know, you don't understand what the hell they're talking about during the show. I still like to listen
but
to
we're
it.
We're working on that accent.
It's not Scottish, it's crap.
I still like to listen to it, right?
I miss Slug Radio.
Okay, everybody, this is it. I'm Link.
Dan.
I'm Alan.
And Pat.
And Pat, tonight.
Thanks
for listening.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for the beer.
That's right. Thanks for
no
the
problem.
Beer. And this is show 53, by the way, right?
Yeah, 53.
53. Catch us again next week, same time, same station for show 54.
Pulling the Flink Tech Show. Pulling the Flink Tech Show.